This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Jalen Hurts is a guy who's not going to blow you away, but he's, you know, he's going to, with the legs, he's always going to keep his team kind of in the game. I don't expect them to be that great, but they're going to be one of those teams where they're going to beat a lot of good teams this year because they're going to catch them just kind of looking past them. But then you'll see them lose to some teams that aren't so great too because they're just not uber talented. So I think looking back, once this season is over, that'll be a good win for the 49ers because, you don't get style points in the NFL, you know?
Yeah, I know. Jason, I thought the Eagles' best chance to win, I don't know if they'd converted here. I don't know that they would have won. They definitely, you know, to your point, close game, kind of a snooze fest at times, but a very competitive game. I thought the Eagles' best chance to win was when they were down on the 1 yard line, and their goal line offense was like Harry High School stuff, and it ended up, I think they ran the Philly special. They ended up throwing the ball. I think it went in the garbage can, which is where that red zone package belongs, Jason.
Yeah, I was astonished when I saw that play call. I thought it was a joke, but it was real life. Everyone in the press box was confused by that. Like everyone, I didn't get it. You know, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just like, what are you doing, Sirianni? Yeah. Like their new, it's not even Doug Peterson. I can see if it was Doug Peterson. It was like, hey, this worked for me before. It's an entire new coaching staff. That's those things. We do it once, it worked. Now let's leave it in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean?
I think it was Sanders last week said, look, everything we run is like a run first option. Everything we do. It's like, okay, it really was interesting against the Falcons. But, you know, sometimes when you're on the 2 yard line, you just got to, you know, especially with that offensive line, you just got to run it over right tackle, right? I mean, sometimes one of the options is like, by the time they figured out, all right, what do we do here? They were going the wrong direction. So that was unfortunate, but of course, a big win for the 49ers. I agree with you. I think they'll look back on that one and say, yeah, that was a halfway decent team we beat.
Yeah, you know, I just absolutely get so frustrated when I see teams down on the 1, 2, 3 yard line and their quarterback lines up in shotgun. I just, like, yeah. I get, call me old school or what, just under center, ram it down this team's throat. Mm-hmm. You need 1 yard. It could be a QB sneak. It could be right off the tackle, your running back. But why are you lined up in a shotgun when you only need 1 yard? It doesn't make sense to me. But, yeah, that was a good win by the 49ers. I'm really excited for this game on Sunday night against the Packers. It could go, like, because I just don't know what's going to happen. I still don't have a good read on this 49ers team. Like, are they good, Whitey?
They're certainly good in some areas and some huge question marks in others, right? I mean, I think that's the most accurate answer we can give. And we'll circle back to the 49ers and Packers. We'll get to that in just a moment here. Yeah, it's Whitey Gleason, Jason Dumas on 95.7 The Game. But, Jason, not to go all Harbaugh on you, but who's got it better than Bay Area sports fans right now?
No one.
You could say fans in Milwaukee, right, because the Bucks won the title. The Brewers are having a fine year, and the Packers are still, you know, they're interesting at the very least. Maybe fans in Tampa Bay because the Bucks won the Super Bowl, Lightning getting ready to defend the Stanley Cup, and the Rays are, you know, however they do it, they're doing it again. But here we got the Giants with 100 wins now. The A's still lurking in the wild card chase. 49ers returning home with a 2-0 record. The Warriors opening camp this week. This is, you know, we've had just such a rich, vast, colorful, great sports history here. This is a very special time that we're in right now, today, with you and me on Till 5.
Yeah, yo, it's great. So, like, I'm going over my work schedule for Cron, and I'm looking down. I was like, okay, we have this, we have this, we have this, we have this, and Warriors Media Day and this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, we're so busy. But then I took a step back, and I was like, how lucky are we to be covering the Bay Area sports scene right now with just so much going on? Obviously, you got Bang Bang Niner Gang, like, full-fledged week 3 coming up. You have this Giants team that is, like, in the middle of the most magical season ever, and no one saw it coming. It's been so enjoyable just watching this team. And then, you know, we have the Warriors and Clay coming back. We have, you know, this player on the Warriors. We don't even know if he's going to be eligible to play half the home games. So it's just so much to talk about, so much to cover. And, Whitey, this is, like, why we get into this career, right? Like,
yep.
to do this. And I don't think there is. I mean, to your point with Milwaukee, I hear you. But right now on September 25th, 2021, I don't think there is a better sports market in the country.
888-957-9570 on the text line from the 925. Too bad the Raiders left. Yeah, the Raiders. The Raiders look like perhaps they're going to be the San Francisco Giants of this NFL season. I know that's saying a lot, but here's my question about the Giants. Of course, the Giants, Jason, 100 wins now, which is just, you know, I don't know what's going to happen from here. But the fact that this Giants team has won 100 games, I really am having a hard time believing it based on what expectations were. Now, the good news is they're only the fourth San Francisco Giants team ever to win 100 games. Only the fourth, along with the 62 Giants, 93 Giants, 2003 Giants, and then you got this year's team. That's the good news. The bad news is none of those previous three actually won the World Series. So we'll see. But the Giants right now, what are they, 154? So I think right now their winning percentage is the best. And again, we'll see what happens the rest of the way. They've got the best winning percentage of any Giants team. Could this, I know this sounds ridiculous, but we really have to look at it now. 888-957-9570. And I ask you, Jason, could this Giants team be the best San Francisco Giants team of all time?
I think it's too easy to say one way or the other, but I think they're on the track.
I think they're on the track.
You know?
Yeah.
I think they're on the track. You know, obviously you can't make that claim until we see how they finish. But they're on that road. They're on that right highway, you know, going the way. And look, I'm superstitious when it comes to my sports. Like, the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I noticed by like week like 9, every time I wore a specific outfit, they won. So I literally wore that outfit for pretty much the rest of the season. By the end of the season, that Eagles hoodie was smelling a little funky, but it got us through. I finally
smelled like victory, Jason. Yeah, it smelled like victory.
Smelled like champagne after that night in Minneapolis. That's somewhere in a closet. But to my point, I said to myself, I was going away to Italy for one of my best friend's wedding a couple weeks ago, almost 3 weeks now. And the day I was leaving was the first game of that Dodgers Giants series. And I think at that time for game one of that series, they had a tie record in the standings. The Giants had just kind of struggled against the Braves and the Brewers back-to-back series, and they were coming up on the Giant or on the Dodgers. And I told myself, if the Giants are leading this division when I come back from Italy, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to tune in every game and really see. I was like, the only thing I can do is really just look at the standings, because I'm not going to really be able to see how they lost, why they lost, how they won. Just, you know, time change, running around a different country. It's just, I knew I wouldn't be able to focus. So I just told myself, if when I fly and touch back down in the Bay 8 days later, if the Giants are ahead in the standings, they are going to win this NL West. I don't care what happens from there on out once I get home, but my superstition is telling me if they're in first place when you get back on American soil, they're going to win this division. And I got back, Whitey, they're up two games. So I'm chilling. I'm not even stressed. It's science. It is. Mm-hmm. They're going to win this division. Yeah, it's close. They're only a game up with what? Is it seven eight. Games left? Eight games left?
Eight left, yeah.
Up one with eight. The Giants are going to win it. They're going to find a way to win this division. And, man, like, I'm not like a big destiny guy. Like, it's the team of destiny, but it's feeling so good. Like, you know, it's, the story is just the way it's writing and just the camaraderie you can see between the guys and just the good vibes that Gabe Kapler kind of puts out into the atmosphere and in that clubhouse. It's just feeling like we are going to be celebrating something so special in about 6-7 weeks.
It has been very, very, very entertaining, right, from the 574. Kurt in Napa, I'm a Dodgers fan, so I almost just stopped right there and said I'm not going to read that, but I'll read it. Thank you, Kurt. I'm from Vallejo, so, you know, Napa, I know you guys kind of look down on us, but that's cool. Kurt in Napa, I'm a Dodgers fan. I have to say, Giants have made this the most entertaining Dodgers regular season to watch in almost 10 years. It's almost a backhanded compliment, but I hear you. And to, as far as the story you told, Jason, very interesting, but I got stuck on the fact that I just went to Italy. I got to ask Craig and Sam, have you guys been anywhere exotic recently? I went through Vacaville a few weeks ago on my way back from Mendocino. Anybody been, I don't know, overseas or anything, Craig? Sam,
I mean,
anybody?
I guess if going over the bridge to Vallejo is going overseas, then I mean, that's probably about as far as I've been.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's how those TV guys roll. Good for you, Jason.
It was a fun trip. You know, it was the first time in Italy. I'd been to Europe before. My sister studied abroad back in the day, so I went and visited her when she studied abroad in Spain. But first time to Italy is a beautiful place, yo. And Whitey, it looks like California. I got a lot of California vibes because I was down in southern Italy by the Amalfi Coast. And just some of the views, looking into the water, there's a lot of mountains and stuff. It looks like some of the views that I would see if I'm, like, hiking and looking at the Golden Gate Bridge or something. It looks very similar. And I often tell people that San Francisco and the greater Bay Area in general is the most beautiful place I've ever lived. And I've lived probably in, like, 15 different cities at this point just because of the TV journey and whatnot. So I say that to say Italy is equally as beautiful. Like, you just turn a corner and you see it's breathtaking.
Yeah,
and I get the same vibes here when I'm walking to work and I make a turn and I can see, like, Alcatraz clear as day and just the sun in the background. It's just picturesque.
You can picture our dinners was kind of the same. I mean, I had Little Italy last night too. It was a little, you know, Little Caesars. It was kind of the same
nice.
Principle. I mean, we had, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure, I had late night Domino's last night. Same thing.
Yeah, my wife. See, it's kind of a sore subject with me, and we'll get back to the Giants and the 49ers, I promise. But see, my wife went to high school in Italy, and it comes up sometimes, right? You know, I went to high school in Vallejo, and I've been, I've been to Olive Garden. That's about as close as I've come to being to Italy. So that's really cool. Anyway, Sam brought up an interesting question, which gets to the gist of this whole thing with the Giants. And Sam was asking, you know, before the show, and Sam prepares so much of what we do here, and he was asking, what's the turning point of this season? And as I thought about it, I don't know how you feel, Jason, when I think about it, the only turning point was really in our minds. The Giants, and you can look at, you know, month by month, they've just done what they're doing now every freaking month. So they've just won and won and won, very rare fashion. It's very rare for a baseball team to be as consistent as they have. So the only turning point has been in our realization of what they're doing, not actually in what they're doing, because they've just been winning. I almost said from day one, I think they lost day one, right? They lost to the Mariners. From day two, I guess, they've just been winning, winning, winning.
Yeah, and it's funny because even like early June, if you just look at the way they were winning and some of the stats, run differential, runs per game, home runs, none of this was by accident. It wasn't like, oh, they're winning these lucky close games. Like, they're all, you know, they're going to fall back to earth. If you actually followed how they were winning, yes, they have won these close games. Yes, they get a lot of pinch home runs, which is kind of an anomaly. They lead the majors. I think they've tied a major league record for pinch hit home runs in a season with 17. But they weren't winning by accident, is my point. And just like you said, like, you know, our perceptions have changed, but not the way they've been playing. They have been playing elite, top-tier baseball from the first game of the season. Maybe we'll say the second game since they lost their opener.
Yeah.
I think you get my point. And you know what's funny? How about the roller coaster? I know we're not going to get into this too much, but I just have to point it out. The roller coaster the A's are on. I mean, what did they have in the beginning of the season? A 13-game win streak? I think they lost like their first four and then ripped off 13 mm-hmm. in a row. And they had that top wild card spot for, it seems like, at least 3 months. And now, I mean, stick a fork in them.
Barely hanging on. Yeah, and then Bassett came back Thursday, so emotional. But
played great.
They struggle with the Mariners. And, yeah, it's looks like they're not going to make it this year. But they're still hanging in there. On the text line here. 888-957-9570, as I say. From the 707, Dodger fans' backhanded compliments or not, it's still 3-1 World Series during those 10 years, so there's that. So, yeah, okay.
Facts are facts.
We may end up with that one-game playoff to see who goes to the wild card and who wins a division. There could be that extra game before we even get to a wild card game, Jason.
Yeah, that would be a week from Monday. It's crazy. You know, it's like, can you imagine if they tied a division, then they come? It'll be at Oracle because the Giants won the series 10-9, go figure, by one game. That just shows how close it's been. Could you imagine, Whitey, we get a one-game playoff at Oracle to decide the division? How electric will Third and King be on that night? I hope we avoid it. Like, I don't want it to come down to that. One-game playoffs make me nervous regardless because if the Giants lose that one-game playoff, then a couple days later they have another one-game playoff at Oracle, and you could have like a 105-win season and in the snap of a finger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good night now. Thanks. Yeah. That was a great summer, wasn't it?
Great season.
Hey, what happened?
Time to book your vacations. Great season. We'll focus to the Warriors and the 49ers.
Time to go back to Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Olive Garden, breadsticks. Here's the thing, getting back to the whole issue of a turning point. I think if there were turning points, to me, a couple come to mind, apparent turning points, both having to do with the Dodgers. Sam mentioned, you know, Tauchman with the catch down there to rob Pujols of what would have been a game-winning home run on a Friday night. And then you fast forward to that series that you were talking about. I think this was just when you left Italy. The Giants had struggled against the Braves and the
Brewers back-to-back.
Brewers.
It was just a brutal three series in a row, Braves, Brewers, Dodgers.
Then they got that game, that Friday night game, that they somehow won in extra innings on that Friday night. That was one I remember because I was starting to think, all right, you know, some of the cracks in the facade are showing. Of course, they're not a perfect team. They've got flaws, and it's catching up to them a little bit. And when they won that game, then they came back and won on Sunday night, right? They beat Bueller.
Yep.
That was another. And it wasn't so much a turning point as it was just, to me, it was like a slap in my face. Like, hey, dummy, this is just a really good team. They're not going to have that collapse.
Yeah, and I mean, it's people probably weren't thinking from this perspective at the time, but it's so huge. They took 2 out of 3 in that series so they could take the season series in the case that they might have to have that one-game playoff. Now it's up here instead of down in Southern California. So it's just, like, I enjoy baseball, but I'm not, like, a baseball aficionado, you know what I mean? But this Giants team has made me become that. I find myself listening to Giants podcasts and baseball podcasts now. I've never done that before. And, you know, I've cheered on some really, really fun Phillies teams. There was a Phillies team that won over 100 games in the mid-2000s. So I've seen a lot of fun baseball. And those teams were fun because, you know, Ryan Howard, Utley, Jimmy Rollins, you know, Pat Burrell, Cole Hamm, those were like big-time offensive units. You know, like, if you like offense, you would have loved those teams. But this Giants team might take the cade. It might be the funnest team I've ever really followed closely.
Remember that 2010
Phillies
team?
Yeah, yeah, I remember it.
Remember Bruce Bochy almost literally managing circles around Charlie Manuel. Almost literally. You could almost see Charlie Manuel turning in circles like, I don't know who to bring in now. Who's Javi Lopez?
Was it Cody Ross?
Ryan Howard can't buy a hit.
Is that his name, Cody Ross? Yeah, he got turned into a modern-day Barry Bonds all of a sudden. Just think he had like four home runs in that series. It was nuts. I was like, who is this guy?
He had the two home runs in game one against Roy Halladay. I don't know. Those were Halladay's first hits allowed in his postseason career, too, because he had that no-hitter in his first postseason start.
Yeah, he won the Cy Young that year. He was automatic. It was just nuts. I was like, who is this guy? But the Phillies, during that they had a four-year stretch where like they were amongst the top three teams in baseball. They won one World Series, but I take solace in the fact that the 3 years they didn't win the World Series, they lost to all World Series champions. Mm. They lost to the Yankees in the World Series. They lost to the Giants, who went on to win the World Series, and then they lost to the Cardinals. That was the year they won like 105 games. They lost to the Cardinals, who went on to win the World Series. So at least we can say we lost to the best team. Baseball, that year they lost to the Cardinals. It was a game seven, Halladay versus Carpenter. They lost 1-0. It was one of those, like, you couldn't even be that mad. It was like two studs on the mound. The best team won.
By the way, the Cardinals have won 14 in a row. The Cardinals a couple weeks ago were like, yeah, boy, they just had a disappointing season. And it looked like maybe the Padres, the Reds might sneak in a wild card. Maybe your Phillies. And then the Cardinals said, all right. Time to get serious about this, and poof, I mean, they're just running away with that wild card. I think they're currently playing the Cubs. Speaking of Cody Ross, that's almost like this team has a bunch of Cody Rosses.
Yeah.
They just got a bunch of guys who, you know, are just – it's hard to find guys who've been on the Giants this year who have not played well. There's only a few guys about him you could say, yeah, you know, Talkman didn't play great. Vossler is up and great. The rest of them is like everybody's played really well. Some of them, look at Tyro Estrada. Think how many teams would love to have a guy like that. He can play multiple positions. Mm-hmm. I think he's hit seven homers. And he's had a hard time staying on the big league roster because they just have so much depth and everybody has played so well, pitchers and hitters.
Got Lamont Wade. It's just, it's nuts. Like, Lamont Wade is having such a great season, and it's like sometimes we don't even talk about it enough, but it's because there's so many other guys who are having such great seasons, and I think that's why, Whitey, so many people figured this team would just come back to earth, because they're thinking, hey, like, nah, there's no way Lamont Wade's going to have this type of output for the entire season. You know, there's no way Donovan Solano and Dickerson and Slater, the guys are going to continue to come in and timely hits that win them games. They're going to come back to earth. And they haven't. This is who they are, at least for this season.
Yeah, and Crawford and Belt have been unbelievable. And mm-hmm. Posey, it's like, oh, my goodness, they're having some of their – you know, you could make the case, I know Buster's won a batting title, but Crawford and Belt, you could say they're having their best years ever. Nobody saw that coming. So as far as the question, is this the best Giants team ever? I think you hit the nail on the head, Jason. We really can't say now. But the fact that it's not a ridiculous question mm-hmm. is incredible, right? Here we are 8 games to go. Is this the best San Francisco Giants team ever? Well, I mean, it could be. There is that chance. That absolutely floors me.
It's nuts. It's nuts. Like, this team was projected to win, what, 78 games? They won their 78th game, like, 2 months ago. Like, are you kidding me? It's hard to win over 100 baseball games in a season. That is, like, the bar of excellent. Not good. Excellent. We don't even see it all that often. And here we are, 100 wins with 9 to play. 8 to play, you said, right?
Yeah, they got a chance to breeze past 100. Yeah, they really do.
Like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up with, like, 106. And, you know, it would be nuts. And I think if they get to 106, I think they'll have that division. But they might not even need it to get there. You compare the schedules going forward. It's tricky. They got that Padres series to end the season in. Even though they've been playing bad, the Padres they still are talented. So, but I think I'm looking at the schedule. So, the Dodgers, their final series, and if I can find it right here, that's who they play, Milwaukee. That'll be a tough series for them. But the thing is, though, Milwaukee doesn't really have anything to play for right now. I mean, they got their division locked up. so they don't have to worry about winning a division race or a wild card race. I guess they still need a record, the best record they can for home field, you know, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean about the Padres. They've been so up and down. Some of the guys are thrown out there right now. I still can't believe the Padres won that game Thursday.
Yeah,
when they had Detweiler pitching, and they're going out there. Are you okay? You're throwing like 82 miles an hour. And he's like grimacing. He's like, yeah. And they leave him in, and he somehow gets out of that. That was remarkable. Yeah,
right.
One of the few things that didn't go right for the Giants of this year. By the way, we want to remind you to elevate your tailgate. It is back this season. Elevate your tailgate back this season. Featuring the Morning Roast's Joe Shiskay, I think is how you say it. Joe Shiskay. Is that right? In the debut episode, joined, of course, by Bonte Hill. Check out the latest episode on 957thegame.com and on 957thegame social channels. Elevate Your Tailgate is brought to you by Chef's Toys, a kitchen and restaurant supply store trusted by grill masters and tailgate kings. Visit chefstoys.com or a store near you. Coming up with the Pack coming to town. Is everybody ready for trade day? That is next with Jason Dumas and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for spending part of your Saturday with us. I'm Whitey Gleason, along with Jason Dumas on 95.7 The Game. On the text line, 888-957-9570. Doesn't this sound like a text from a Dodger fan? Appreciate it, Kurt. It's nice to hear from you. But he says, looking like the Padres are not going to have anything to play for either, even though it pains me to say I think the Giants win the conference outright. Dodgers lose to the Giants in the NLDS. Only a Dodger fan would call it the conference, right?
Yeah.
It's a division, not a conference, right? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Come on, man. Amateur hour.
Just kidding, Kurt. Thanks for listening. From the 925, I know you two are fantasy baseball gurus. Should I start Gavin Lux or Jonathan India? Thanks. I think I like the matchup with India against the Nats better than Gavin Lux against either Zach Gallen. So I don't know if Jason has anything to say there. I would go Jonathan India of the Reds.
I don't act like I know stuff I don't know, and I have no idea. Go with your gut, bro.
All right, so he agrees with me. From the 574, Vallejo is some of the best hidden gem restaurants in the North Bay. I'm assuming
that. Give me some. I always look to add to my list. I have a whole photo album of restaurants that I still have yet to try in the Bay Area. So, come on.
Go. How bad did he spell restaurant the word the autocorrect didn't kick in?
Like, I'm sorry, because restaurant's one of those words I always mess up. So I'm like, how bad did you mess it up to where autocorrect was like, where are you going?
The scary thing is restraints actually applies too, so I'm not sure which he meant there talking about Vallejo, but we appreciate it. Before we get any further, Jason, I know we're going to talk about the 49ers, but we have a lot of Warrior stuff to talk to, and I got to get this off my chest. I got to see if you see this the way I do. I know that anytime you have like power rankings or top 100 lists, a lot of it is just designed to get people agitated. Well, I just saw one, and it really worked. I'm so mad about this. And it was ESPN's top 100 NBA players.
Okay.
And they have top five. Okay, it goes, let's see, one KD, two Giannis, okay, three LeBron, and then Steph is five. So who's number four? Did you see this?
I did not. I try, like you said, I try to ignore those lists because they are purposeful for engagement. You know, they can be fun, but I'm sorry. They can be fun, but
yeah,
it gets tiresome debating people. Like, why are you debating my opinion so much? Like, I'm not going to change
with
it.
You.
I think A
with
is you. Better than B. If you think B is better than A, I can see your logic. Let's leave it at that. Steph five.
Steph five. Yeah. How in the Furkan Korkmaz is Luka? Luka is fourth at a Steph at five.
Look,
what?
Luka is great, but I've noticed he is a media. He's the media darling. He's kind of gotten crowned a little prematurely, and that's not to say that he's not an amazing player. He's amazing.
But Steph's been a two-time MVP.
Yeah, no, that's disrespectful.
And he's won multiple.
He's not better than Steph.
Luka is fourth ahead of Steph. It's just like, I can't respect anything else you have on your list because that's just
like
so stupid.
See, Whitey, you got me down the rabbit hole. I got to look up this list. Like, off the top of my head, my top five would be LeBron James.
Sure.
Kevin
LeBron
Durant.
LeBron James. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Steph Curry, Giannis,
Yeah,
Embiid.
Okay. Yeah, and that's a fine list. And if this list had Luka, I would still chafe a little bit if he was fifth. Because I agree with you. I think Luka is something of a media darling. I saw one stat that he scored. I think he scored the most points of any player in history who never won a playoff series. It's like, yeah, I know. We'll see. He's still got a lot to prove. But for them to put him fourth, I just, like, it really offended me because it's just so stupid, Jason. That's just flat out dumb.
I mean, it's disrespectful. It is. It is.
Yes.
Like, come on. All Steph Curry has accomplished, he had a better, and it's not even, it's like,
right.
It's not even like, it's like, okay, we're just, you know, we're, okay, Steph, we're talking Steph's legacy. Like, Steph had a better year last season. So,
yes, it's not like, you're right. It's not like Steph, like, averaged 19 a game last year and really struggled, you know. I mean, he had a great, one of arguably his best year. You could make that case.
Yeah. So, I don't see how he can be lower than three. I mean, he came in third in MVP voting. I'm looking at this list now. I mean, Embiid was the MVP runner-up, and he's the seventh best player in the NBA. I don't get that. I think, yeah. You know, I know he's not perfect, but I think Embiid gets regularly disrespected in terms of his place in the game. That guy needs a point guard, a scoring guard so bad. He has so much pressure on him because Ben Simmons can't score. He has he's never played with someone who can utilize like the pick and roll really with him. I mean, he had Jimmy Butler and they lost in game seven to the Raptors, the defending champs, on a fluky shot. You know, so like that was just a little taste of what the Sixers could do if they had a scoring guard. You got us down this rabbit hole.
Steph, I know.
Steph will remind us, he'll remind the league again this year that he is one of the top three, maybe four at the worst players walking planet Earth.
Well, I apologize. It was a little selfish because it bothered me so much. I wanted to get it off my chest.
Why. I didn't
and
even
talk
know.
To you about it. Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting the point you make about LeBron. I remember this was a couple years ago, and you know LeBron has played so many games for so many years. The miles are starting to show a little bit, but he's still LeBron. And this was a couple years ago talking to Lionel Hollins, you know, who has been an NBA head coach, and he said, "Look," he said, LeBron's MVP every year. Now, we don't give it to him every year, but he is. Everyone knows he really is the best player. So there's still some of that. And have you, I know you're well connected with everything going on with Ben Simmons in Philly. The latest in Philly, as you may know, for all I know, you may have reported it, I guess his teammates wanted to all get together, Tybalt and Matisse, Tobias
Harris. And so this was reported by Shams, I believe. I can't confirm or deny it. Shams is a great reporter, so I'm assuming it's true. But Tobias, Joel, and Matisse Thybulle wanted to fly across country to talk to Ben in person to try to be like, yo, we need you. Let's do this. And Ben told them, don't bother. Yeah. I'm not changing my mind. It is what it is. Yeah. I can confirm, I reported it earlier this summer, that Joel had repeatedly tried to reach out to Ben. He wanted to work out with Ben earlier this summer, and Ben was not responding to him. It's damn it, it is done. And Whitey, it's going to get ugly. The Sixers are in such a bad spot, and a lot of it is self-inflicted damage. I know we're all human and we can't be robots, but soon as that series against the Hawks was over, and Embiid said that, and Doc Rivers said that in the press conference, which they weren't wrong, and I don't necessarily blame them for doing it, but soon as they publicly threw Ben under the bus like that, not only was the relationship over, but you killed, figuratively speaking, obviously, you absolutely killed his trade value. Everyone in the league saw it. They're like, oh, they don't even want him. We're not going to give a king's ransom for a team that is, like, desperate.
They don't even want him.
Yeah. They don't even want him. And now that's what it is. The Sixers, like, are refusing to get 40 cents on the dollar for Ben, which I understand, and Ben is refusing for them to play. If I'm Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers, Elton Brand and company, I'm telling Ben, look, if you don't want to play, you don't have to play. Maybe we won't even fine you. We won't even fine you. It is what it is. Just keep your distance, but we're not in a rush to trade you. We will figure out how to play without you. Tyrese Maxey will get more minutes. He'll develop more. Matisse Thybulle will develop more. And the Sixers without Ben Simmons is still, in my opinion, a top 4 to 5 team in the East. I genuinely believe that. Just go on without him. Let him sit. At some point, a team that was supposed to be good, like let's say the Denver Nuggets, you know, just making up a team, the Denver Nuggets mm-hmm. or the Utah Jazz, team projected to be like a top 3 team. All of a sudden, we're 6 weeks into the season and they're like in 9th place and they just need to shake up their roster and Ben Simmons is just sitting working out in LA. Then that's when teams will get back to the Sixers and be like, hey, all right, what's up? And the Sixers can have some leverage. I actually think Ben sitting out will get them more leverage instead of going about this, we have to get rid of him before the season starts. We just have to.
Just no say, question. Yeah, that's the only play right now. Yeah, right. I agree with you 100%. Daryl Morey, excuse me, I didn't mean to step on you.
No, you know, you're good.
Yeah, he's not necessarily well-liked, but he's not an idiot. No, he understands.
No,
yeah,
I think
and
he's
can
a
look
good
at
GM.
This.
I do.
Yeah, I think he's very smart. So, yeah, I think that's his only play right now is to just hang on and hope that something happens between now and the deadline that increases Simmons' trade value. 888-957-9570. Let's talk to Reggie in Oakland on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Reg?
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Good.
I was just calling in because I'm in East Oakland, but I'm an avid Sixers fan. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I just want to say, man, I think Ben Simmons honestly should be gone. We need to get him out of there. Like you guys were stating, like, everything is on Embiid, and this guy's 7 foot, however many pounds. His knees are going to go eventually, but we can't put all that scoring on our guy Embiid. The one time he did with Butler, they almost went to the championship, like y'all had stated earlier. So I honestly think I could agree with you guys. We need to get Ben out. It's not good for continuity. It's not good for the team. And he's not even shooting threes. We need someone to shoot threes. This is 2021 in the NBA. This man needs to shoot threes.
Yeah.
He shot 34 in his career. Come on, what do you want, Reggie? He made 5 of them. It sounds, Jason, like Reggie would just – Reggie, are you ready to just, hey, we need to get rid of him even if we don't get a lot back for him?
Honestly, at this point, I want us to get as much as we can, but I think it would do more harm keeping a toxic energy like that on the team than it would do good. I mean, honestly, if y'all ever looked into why Jimmy Butler left, that's why he left. It was a toxic energy. They didn't know what they had going on in Philly. And it's like, we can't win a championship with that continuing, especially with Embiid. He's a generational talent. Like, this man's throwing windmills from the dotted line in the NBA. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the Sixers, I know this, I don't want this to turn into the Sixers show. I know we're in the Bay, but the Sixers have a lot to blame. They coddled Ben Simmons for years. Brett Brown, their coach before Doc, he was an enabler. He just was. Great guy, not okay coach at best, but he was an enabler. They coddled Ben Simmons. They were afraid to offend Ben Simmons. They were always trying to appease Ben Simmons. And all of his deficiency both on and off the court, because he has off-putting personalities to a lot of people, they just grew and grew because no one was there to check him. So like, they kind of groomed this whole thing. It's not all on Ben. They had nobody who would look Ben in the eye and be like, yo, cut this out. Yo, you got to learn to shoot. You're hurting our offense in playoff settings because no one has to guard you. No, there was no one there to do that. And now we see what we see. It's manifested. This didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, and we'll get back to the Simmons topic, especially as it pertains to the Warriors potentially coming up here with Whitey Gleason and Jason Dumas on 95.7 The Game. But, Jason, I wanted to get back to the 49ers, and I took us down, as you say, the rabbit hole on Steph and Luka. We'll get back to the NBA, a lot to talk about there. But we do have the 49ers and the Packers tomorrow night. As you shared with us, you were there at the 49er game last week in Philly. Were you surprised that we didn't see any Trey Lance in that game?
No, and I actually enjoyed it. I don't want Trey Lance to be the what's the guy's name on the Saints? Not Winston.
Taysom Hill.
I don't want Trey Lance to be the Taysom Hill of the 49ers. Like, just let him sit back and saturate all and absorb all the NFL info he can. If there's a gadget here and there or something that Kyle sees that he can use Trey and manipulate a defense, go for it. But I don't want this, like, every game, like, 4 to 10 snaps and dip and dunk and getting hit for, like, where he doesn't have to because he ran, like, a 2-yard run and, you know, twist an ankle, let your quarterback sit. So I wasn't surprised, and I was actually happy. Like, I don't want it to be that type of situation like we see with Taysom Hill, especially last year, Taysom Hill and Drew Brees and stuff. I either play him as your starter or let him sit on the bench, and maybe every now and then, like I said, if there's something specific Kyle sees that can be manipulated and you can use his skill set, go for it. But I don't want this, like, game package every week for Trey Lance. I don't think it's beneficial to him.
I agree. I do think there's a chance, a real chance, we see a lot of Trey Lance tomorrow, and not because of anything that did or didn't happen last week. We know that the 49ers historically, and then last year they were banged up and Green Bay came in here and they laid waste to the Niners, but we know that the 49ers have had a lot of success running the ball. We also know that backfield's a little banged up right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle sees opportunities with Trey Lance carrying the ball tomorrow night. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of him, because that might be one of the best ways for the 49ers to exploit their opportunities to run the football against this Green Bay defense, which has not been very good.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. Just like I asked you in the beginning of the show, Whitey, is this 49ers team good or not? You can kind of say the same thing for the Packers. You know, it's weird. They got blown out by the Saints.
Yeah.
You're thinking maybe the Saints are actually pretty good. Maybe they got something with Jameis. And then the week later, Saints look lousy. And then they, you know, they kind of just handle the Lions, who the 49ers couldn't really handle. You know, they were handling them at one point, but the Lions stuck in it and made a comeback. So it's that. This is why the game is so intriguing, because I have absolutely no idea how it's going to play out. I really don't. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers has caught a lot of flack from, you know, just football fans and stuff, because a lot of people don't like how he's kind of went about his business with the Packers. But that he's still a bad boy. Like, that man is still really, really good. Whether you hate him or love him, yeah, he had a bad week one, but you can't – as soon as you start thinking he's over the hill, he will hang 450 yards on you and four touchdowns.
He certainly could. I think this is one of the absolute keys to the game, the fact that, you know, Bakhtiari's been out for a while. So Green Bay, they're missing their starting left tackle, and the guy who backs him up, Jenkins, he's got a bad ankle, and he's questionable. So if you're Green Bay and you're facing the 49ers pass rush and you're down to your third left tackle, I think, you know, Aaron may not have a lot of time to throw deep. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that, obviously. They're also without their top pass rusher, I believe. But here's what's really interesting to me about the Packers. You know, you look again at the Giants. We know the Giants have great chemistry this year. And we could quibble about, well, does it matter? Is it the result of winning? Or does it drive the winning? I don't know. But there's a team with great chemistry, and it seems to be lifting them to new heights. The Packers, if chemistry is everybody being on board, they don't have it, right? You got your quarterback who's like clearly unhappy. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this season ends up for the Packers. Is he that? And I know, I agree with you. Everybody who watches it knows that Aaron Rodgers is extremely just a brilliant passer. But the issues that he's having with the coaching staff, with management, is that going to be something that's going to hinder their progress this year? I'm fascinated to find out the answer to that question.
Yeah, it might. You know, chemistry is a big part of sports. It's like, chemistry is a big part of life. Like, Whitey, I'm sure you've had coworkers you can't stand. I've heard, and I'm sure you have coworkers you love. Which situation did you thrive in more? Which situation do you feel like you were most successful individually and as a team? I would bet the ones when you were with your coworkers you love rather than the ones you couldn't stand. Same thing with sports. That's just how life are. We're not robots. We have emotions, and emotions affect how we move forward and how we make decisions and, you know, our mood. So there have been situations where you've heard, like, okay, I mean, like Kobe and Shaq, for instance, they won three together. By that third one, they didn't really even like to look at each other, but they were just so good that they could get by. And I mean, honestly, they only had three. They should have had, if they got along, they would have probably won six, honestly, because 2000 to like 2004 Shaq, maybe even 1999 to 2004 Shaq, for me personally, it's probably the most dominant basketball player I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was, it's nuts how good he was. And then you have Kobe, who probably the best perimeter player in basketball. I mean, they were a cheat code. And they let chemistry break them up. You know, instead of three, they probably could have had six. I mean, if Michael and Scottie had six, I don't see any reason to believe that Kobe and Shaq couldn't have gotten six. Brady and Belichick, the chemistry between them, it ultimately caused them to break up. I don't know Whitey, if you just saw the recent comments by Brady's trainer about Bill Belichick, saying that Bill Belichick, even up to the last year they were together, Brady and Belichick, he still treated Tom Brady like he was some 20-year-old rookie. And he was like, dude, like, look at the context, like, evolve. Like, you can treat him differently because he earned it. Like, his teammates aren't going to be like, oh, he's treating Tom Brady a little different than us. No, everybody realizes it's Tom Brady, the best player ever. Like, that just comes with the territory. And they ultimately broke up because they don't like each other anymore. So chemistry, it is important. My long-winded response to your question, chemistry is important, and that probably will be a big part of the Packers season. If we see them start splintering and, you know, we look back 5 weeks from now and they're, you know, they're 2-4, we'll probably be like, hey, you know, they don't like each other.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%, but I know there are still some people out there who think, if a team wins, they have chemistry. If you don't win, you don't have chemistry. I don't think that's the case. I think that's a little backwards, but it'll be interesting to see this year. I just want to follow up on something you said is so interesting about Kobe and Shaq, because going back to when they played and they came apart, that team came apart, I misread that situation. So I was wrong about that, because I looked at that and I thought, okay, here's Kobe. He's ball dominant. He's a selfish player. And so that's what's splintering this team. And I had a chance to talk to Phil Jackson because he had written a book, and so he was doing the rounds. And I asked him about, how come Kobe never appreciated playing with Shaq? And Phil Jackson said, you know what, I'm not sure that he didn't. And I always wondered what he meant by that. But then you read about it years later when Shaq and Kobe actually addressed this. And Shaq just got out of shape. And Kobe, yes, he was one of those guys who shot a lot because he felt like, I want to win, and we're better off if I shoot because I'm better than these guys. And he was a great defensive player. And you can't be a great defensive player and be selfish. It is the most selfless act in basketball to defend well, in my opinion. So I think I misread that. I think what happened there is Shaq just got a little bit out of shape. The game started changing, became a little more perimeter oriented. Shaq, and you know, bless him, he deserved it with all the championships he won. Of course, he won one more with Miami. I think him getting out of shape, I think it was really his fault more than Kobe's. And initially, I blamed it all on Kobe, and I think I was wrong.
Yeah, you know, it got a little deep. It got messy between Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah.
It was even beyond the court. They had some stuff going on in their personal lives with the wives and ex-wives. It got a little messy. There's a lot of stuff that hasn't really been reported, but it doesn't need to be reported because it's not really any of our business. But at the same time, it was – I actually think the being out of shape part was kind of a front, something so they could like address publicly. It was part of it. I do think that Kobe didn't appreciate the way Shaq prepared. And right. I also, to be honest, I think it kind of irked Kobe that Shaq didn't have to prepare and could still, by the end of the season, just be this dominant force. And I think that kind of irked Kobe. God rest his soul, but there was a lot that was messy, Whitey. That was a messy situation. Like, you know, they almost came to blows. And when I say they almost came to blows, they didn't come to blows because it took the entire team to hold Shaq back. You know, they would have came to blows if there wasn't 6-7 people pulling Shaq. That's what it takes, that big, large human. But it got really, really messy, and I'm so happy that they were able to mend all of that damage.
Me too.
Before he passed away, because, look, I was a young, impressionable 12-year-old when the Lakers beat the Sixers in the NBA Finals, and like I said, like, that was like poetry, watching those two play together. If you're a basketball fan, whether you liked or hated the Lakers, watching those 2000, 2001, 2002 Lakers teams when they beat the Pacers, the Sixers, and the Nets. It was like, it was some of the best basketball I've ever watched.
Yeah, but you Philly fans, you booed Destiny's Child at halftime. You could boo Santa Claus, but I'll never forgive them booing Beyonce.
We booed Kobe the following year after that finals loss to the Lakers. The Sixers actually hosted NBA All-Star Game, and they booed the hell out of Kobe when he came back for the All-Star Game.
My goodness. Coming up, hey, speaking of chemistry, it looks like the 49ers have really good chemistry despite everything going on here potentially with Trey Lance, who's the quarterback. So far, it's hanging together for him. So up next, which team is closer to winning it all, the Giants or the 49ers? We're going to find out from Mark DeLucci, who covers both teams. He joins us next. Thanks for being with us, Jason Dumas and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.